The AT&T Center wasn't kind to the San Antonio Spurs, falling to the Golden State Warriors 110-97 in Game 3 of the opening round of the NBA playoffs. Welcome to Lockdown Spurs. I am Jeff Garcia, host of LOS, as we affectionately call it, and part of the Lockdown Podcast Network. And you may know me from News 4 San Antonio and Fox 29 San Antonio Spurs Zone. So, as mentioned, the Spurs dropped another game to the Warriors at a place, the AT&T Center, where they pretty much look like undefeated. I mean, seriously, they only lost eight games in the regular season. They're one of the best in the league as far as defending a home turf. But nevertheless, it just wasn't meant to be. Spurs now are on the brink of elimination. They are down 0-3 in this series. And, the season could be over very, very soon, possibly as early as this Sunday, if the Spurs simply don't get their act together and make a miracle happen, an NBA miracle happen, and be the first team ever to come back from an 0-3 deficit to win the series and move on, at least in their franchise, that is. There's so much to talk about, X's and O's, stats. Obviously, you know, there was the big looming dark cloud over the game, which was the loss of Greg Popovich's wife, Erin. That played a part in the Spurs play. Tony Messina, he took the reins for Popovich while he was dealing with his family issues. But as far as the game itself, you know, very reminiscent of Game 2, and it ended like Game 2. So we talk about that and a lot more. I am joined by Joe Garcia once again at Two Shots Podcast. Joe, you were at the game. Now, obviously, we're going to talk about the X's and O's. We're going to talk about what happened, but I want to jump to the end of the game. You had an issue with Spurs fans leaving, like bolting out of that arena, and you actually had video of it.
Yeah, you know, I posted the video of it, and some fans are like, "Why are you shaming other fans?" It's not that I'm shaming other fans. I'm just saying, from my point of view, it was just disheartening and, you know, embarrassing that you would have these so-called diehard fans that complain about Kawhi Leonard, that complain about, you know, the play of the actual players on the court, but yet when the team needs them the most, they get up and leave. So I'm like, if you're going to be critiquing the team, at least have the cojones or the guts to stay there and watch the game even though they're losing. You know, that's my gripe with the fans. You're going to complain? Stick it out, you know?
Yeah. Well, we're going to talk about how the game ended and how it began right now. The Spurs came out looking tough, looking like the specter of Popovich's line passing away wasn't really there. One thing I did notice, the team, the arena, did not do any sort of video dedication. There was Buford did not step out on the middle of the court and thank the fans or talk to the fans. There was not even a moment of silence. It was just basketball. And that's how I think Pop wanted it, and maybe his wife wanted it as well. He did his best, and the Spurs did their best, to help the Spurs focus on the game at hand. So I thought that was a nice thing that the Spurs did. But even with that, it still wasn't enough to topple the Golden State Warriors, Joe. You know, one thing that stood out for me in this game when it comes to the court is simply this, and I've said it since we started doing this series of shows on this series. Spurs simply don't have enough talent. And that's what it's really coming down to. They just don't have the talent. The Warriors can take quarters off and still beat you by 10, 15, 20 points. Spurs take one quarter off, they're down 15, 20 points. Joe, does it really come down to that in this series and why this team is 0-3?
I don't really think. I mean, yes, from a certain standpoint, you know, of course, you know, Golden State has more offensive weapons. But from the Spurs perspective, you know, and just from, you know, me viewing the game, because I was, you know, I was at the game yesterday. What really happens with these guys is that they compete, you know, on the defensive end. They're really playing hard and they get a lot of open looks. Yesterday, they got a lot of open looks, open threes, they were, you know, open jump shots. They just can't knock them down, you know. And it goes back to what you were saying, kind of, you know, like, you know, the plethora of talent as offensively between the Spurs and the Warriors is night and day. You know, they have they have players who can actually knock down jump shots, knock down three-pointers at will. And unfortunately for the Spurs, they don't have that luxury. But again, they, you know, they just can't knock down open shots because for whatever reason, they decided to go to through a shooting slump for this later half of the season, and it's even carrying into the playoffs, and you've seen the result.
Yeah, LaMarcus Aldridge touched on the Spurs' lack of hot shooting after the game when he said, quote, "One thing I keep telling them is to keep shooting with confidence. Don't second guess yourself. I think you need to keep shooting with confidence." That was LaMarcus Aldridge following the loss, and I think he's right. You know, what are they going to do at this point of the season? What can they do? Not start shooting, you know, just stop shooting because they're cold? They just got to give it their all. And when you look at the numbers, Joe, it really came down to that. The Spurs just went ice cold, especially again from deep, Joe. I mean, they cannot buy a bucket when it comes to shooting the three-point shot. Look, credit the Spurs defense. They actually were able to, I mean, brace yourself, not allow the Warriors to score a single three-point shot for almost the entire first half, but they didn't do themselves any good as well. They were ice cold. I believe they only shot 21% from the three-point line for the game. That's not going to cut it. When you're playing against this Warriors team, you have to knock down some of those deep shots. Spurs aren't consistently connecting on them, Joe.
Yeah, but that brings up a point. Why are you even taking them if they're not falling? You know, there's other ways to score, you know, 2 points. And the issue that I had with the Spurs is, once again, they started doing the let's just run down the court and chunk up threes and let's see how they go in, you know. And
they went 7 for 33 for the game. That's not acceptable.
Yeah, it's just not working. So if it's not working, why do you continue to do it? You know, that's my biggest gripe that I have with the team is that's not your forte, and it hasn't really been your forte. Stick to what works. Grind the game out. Go in there, you know, be more aggressive going to the rim. Get the opposing team in foul trouble. You know, go and make some, you know, floaters, some open jump shots. But unfortunately, you know, I can see why they do that, because they're trying to get the defense kind of out of sync, out of sorts, and not give them time to set up. But in doing, you know, taking quick shots and quick threes, they're just shooting themselves in the foot because they're kind of playing out of sorts, and it just shows at the stat line, like you're saying right now, when they have atrocious shooting from three. You know, it's just not working.
Look, one of the game plans heading into the series that I thought the Warriors will do, and they have done, is simply shut down LaMarcus Aldridge. And he had himself a great game in game two, but in game three, he was non-existent, and not because he wasn't trying, but simply because the Warriors were swarming him. He finished, for him, a pedestrian, 18 points on the night, and he was a minus 20. A minus 20 for the Spurs while on the court. It's simply what the Warriors are doing. They're being very aggressive with him. Draymond Green is draped all over him. JaVale McGee is draped all over him. They're getting the ball out of his hands. And that's where the supporting cast has to come in. When I see, once again, you know, I'm not trying to bash on him, especially what might be his last hurrah, but I mean, Manu Ginobili, you know, with 0 points in the game.
Yeah.
You had, Danny Green, you know, 9 points in 20 minutes. That's not going to cut it. You know, 3 points from your favorite Bryn Forbes, Joe.
God.
Seriously, the supporting cast, in my opinion, is just not there, and they have not shown up at all in this series, Joe.
Yeah, that's true. You know, I've had an issue with Bryn Forbes, and, you know, unfortunately, that hasn't corrected itself. And at this point in time, I think it's just time to pull the plug on him. He's obviously not working out. And, you know, he's taking up valuable minutes, I think, that could be given to Derek White. And this is this next game coming up is going to be an elimination game. What's the harm in putting Derek White in there and getting some minutes? So that's just my take on it. But you had some role players that have been noticeably absent in this series. Tony Parker was not looking good most of the first half, and then he started coming alive near the end, and he started putting up some points.
He had 16 points for the night.
Yeah, so he broke out some grandpa juice from Manu. You know, unfortunately for Manu, he just couldn't get it going. You know, I don't want him to go out like that. I mean, come on, Manu. He needs that one game, and I think maybe the next one might be his.
Yeah, I think in game four, which, like you mentioned, could be an elimination. Well, it is an elimination game for San Antonio. Everybody's going to have to do what they can do to put away some vacation plans. This is, again, I come down to it heading into the series. I called it. I mean, I gave them the Spurs a gentleman sweep, but I still had the word sweep in there. And it's the fact of the matter is that the Warriors pulled them, for the Warriors perspective, they pulled themselves a great team in the first round. You have a team that was missing or is missing somebody by the name of Kawhi Leonard. You know who that guy is, Joe? I don't know who he is. Who's Kawhi Leonard?
I think they put him. Talk about this. I think they put him on a milk carton already, man.
Yeah, exactly. They haven't found him. Well, they know his location is New York City, but New York City is a very big place, so hopefully they can find him. But nevertheless, they drew a team that was missing their franchise guy. They drew a team that was coming in with multiple different lineups throughout the entire season. They're coming in with a team that simply doesn't have offensive firepower. They have defensive power, but definitely not showing it again. Joe, let's talk about the Spurs defense now. Another game for the Warriors, another scoring night of 100 points or more. Tonight, or last night, it was 110 points. Joe, I thought the Spurs team was one of the best defensive teams in the NBA this season. What happened?
It's just better offense by Golden State. That's just the bottom line. No matter what the Spurs do defensively, you're always going to have somebody else that can pick up the slack. You know, you had, I believe, Livingston. He was having a decent game. You have Draymond Green hitting, knocking down some threes. You know, Kevin Durant's always going to get his. And then if you contain Kevin Durant, well, Klay Thompson's going to go off on you. You know, I mean, and if you contain all these guys, then JaVale McGee will go off on you guys. So, I mean, it's like pick your poison. What do you want? You know, so it's just, you know, like you were saying, the plethora of talent is very evident, you know, and the Spurs, mm-hmm. they I think seriously, they need to consider making some offseason trades and some moves because the talent pool isn't there. And if Kawhi was playing in this game, I don't think that the outcome would have been much different.
No, I don't think so either. I think maybe mm-hmm. they do get a sixth game. I mean, that's too generous. I think.
Yeah, because you've seen this all season, and the talent pool for the Spurs, it's just not there. The role players that they have, I mean, they're just not looking good. You know, I mean, we're getting old, you know. We have Tony Parker, who's already at the twilight of his career, and Manu, you know, he's at the end of his career as well, but he's still playing great. But they can't keep going forever, you know. And Danny Green, Patty Mills, I mean, Danny Green's more of a defensive player. Patty Mills, he sucked. I'm going to say it. He sucked the first half of the season. He started coming around about 2 weeks after the All-Star break, and he's lacking consistency. I mean, yes, he's playing okay, you know, during the series, but we didn't play him. We didn't pay him that much money to play inconsistent basketball. So there's some things that they really need to look at and consider. They need to surround, if Kawhi does come back and you have Kawhi, LaMarcus, and DeJounte, you need to surround this nucleus with some quality talent, you know?
Yeah, and the talent that they have right now is good. It's just not great, and it's not good enough, at least in this series, to topple the defending champs. You know, you look at this game quarter by quarter. The Spurs lost every quarter, Joe. They lost every quarter. They were down at halftime. They were down after three. The third quarter is really what happened. That's when the wheels broke off. They allowed the Warriors to score 32 points in that third frame, and that's what broke the Spurs back ultimately. Now, you look at some of the hustle stats. I mean, there are still, you know, some positives that they can maybe take over to game four. You know, they did outwork the Warriors in the paint 50-40. They did outwork the Warriors in second chance points at 13-5. And in fast break points, the Spurs had the edge on them 13-11. They actually even had a lead over the Warriors at one point in this game, in the game three, a 6-point lead. And they made it competitive. You look at the game, Joe, at least for a good, again, a half, you know, I'll talk about that again.
It's always been third quarter.
there were 13 lead changes and five ties in this game. So the Spurs were hanging tough as best they can. Yeah. You can see this game, Joe. And during the game, somebody asked me, like, well, what are your thoughts on the game? I go, you know what? This is a situation where the mind is willing, but the body is weak. And this is for the Spurs. If they want to win, but their roster is weak. And that's what it really comes down to. Joe, I hate to be just pouring gasoline on this fire right now, but if there's one thing, and I will talk about game four in another episode of Lockdown Spurs, but if there's one thing that you want to carry from game three into game four that is a positive, what would it be?
And just your defensive effort. You know, the effort's been there the last two games. It's just your shots aren't falling. So just do what's working for you right now. And your defensive effort is keeping you in the game, at least for the first half. So just keep on building upon that. There's things on the offensive end that I'm sure that they'll clean up and maybe make the game even a little bit more interesting, you know, in game four. But definitely, you know, your defensive effort's there. So keep on doing what you're doing.
Yeah, I mean, defensively, that's where the Spurs are going to have to make this a series, or at least pretty much stave off elimination. You know, before I give my positive point from game three, if there is one, going into game four, you know, Danny Green, after the game, said this, and I thought this was very interesting. He says, quote, "We know we can play better. All it takes is a couple of possessions in one game to turn this whole thing around." He's still holding hope out that the Spurs, you know, at least in his mind, that they're just like that one play away, that two plays away from getting a W. And I think it's, you know, as much as I like Danny's positivity, but I disagree with him. It's just they're not just a couple possessions away. There are, and this is my thing, they're four quarters away from getting this. You know, my key is that, again, they proved that they can hang with this team for two quarters, but the wheels fell off in the third quarter. They've got to maintain that intensity, that focus that they come out with for a complete game for 48 minutes. Not 12, not 24, 48 minutes. And again, just like in game two and game three, they got to take that with them in game four. They're right there. They're on the cusp, but it takes more than a couple of possessions. It takes a complete a game. And I think if they do that, it will definitely be, well, you know, it'll be a fist fight for sure in game four, because the Spurs maybe don't want to go out that way. But if they're going to go out with them in style and just let the Warriors remember the AT&T Center and let them go down as champions, because to see them fall flat as we did in game three just wasn't a good look for this team. I hope for them the best. They got a foundation there. They got two quarters of basketball under their belt, maybe a good four quarters under their belt in game four. Joe, before we put a wrap on this, again, you were at the game. Could you feel the situation with Pop and the wife? Was that on the fans' lips during the game? Do you think that maybe, you know, was kind of a damper for game three?
I think the fans, you know, were in, you know, some sort of way. Of course, you know, the mood was kind of one of somberness, you know. But the underlying thing is that the Spurs fans were there to see a game, and they were quite happy with the team. But then, you know, when in the waning moments of the third quarter, you know, when the Spurs started falling behind, then you started hearing, what's wrong with this team? How come they're not playing? You know, how come they're not knocking down their shots? And they need to trade so-and-so. They need to get rid of this person. And, you know, Kawhi abandoned us. And I'm like, instead of, you know, looking and just saying, you know what, I'm just going to believe in this team and support them and enjoy the moment here, they start looking for a scapegoat. You know, that's what I heard collectively throughout the arena. And that's kind of disheartening. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't change things already this late in the season. It doesn't do any good to badmouth the team. I mean, you know, I'm sure they know what they need to do in the offseason, but I was just like, really, guys? You all are going to do that and then get up and leave with 8 minutes to go in the fourth quarter? So that's the type of season it is. And what I got collectively out of the arena and out of the fans, and you can see it across the city, and it's just that everybody's mentally exhausted, even the players. I think everybody in deep down somewhere, they want this season to be over already. Everybody needs a moment, you know, to collect themselves and just get over this roller coaster season. I think it's just been tasking on everyone. And, you know, it reminded me of that scene from Thor Ragnarok. If you know, if anybody ever saw that movie, but at the very end, you have this character called Korg, and they're looking at, you know, the planet being destroyed. And he's like, as long as the foundations are strong, we can rebuild. And then, boom, everything just explodes. That's kind of what happened with this season, man.
Yeah. Should have said it better myself as a fellow nerd with Joe, for those of you who know me. But yeah, I agree with you, Joe. And again, we'll table this for another discussion down the road. But I do think there is a big sense within the Spurs fan base and even in the media base that I live in that, you know, this has been a weird season. Look, obviously the Spurs season is technically not done, but let's face it, it pretty much is. There's no way this team's going to win four straight versus the defending champ. So we know that. But let's be real about that. So, you know, I think a lot of it stemmed from the Kawhi situation. And I think that put a lot of Spurs fans at odds with each other. He's going to be back. No, he's not. He's betraying us. He's hurt. He said he's going to come back. Well, yeah, fine. Well, where is he? He's not on the bench in the postseason. The national media doesn't help. Pouring gasoline on it, saying, you know, he doesn't want to be with the team. He's checked out. Reports left and right that he's going back to California to rejoin a Lakers or a Clippers team just to go back home. And, you know, that's got people putting their hair out. And, of course, you know, you got multiple losing streaks, didn't get 50 wins, losing road. It was just a mess of a season. And then, I mean, what a way to close it out. Possibly getting swept, and then of course the Pop's wife passing on, and I'm right there. I've been there for a while already, thinking that, you know what, everybody needs to just drop their butt, leave the table, and just step away for a while, and we'll come back.
Yeah, burn the tape.
Yeah, but yeah. So do you have any final thoughts?
You know, my final thoughts are this. You know, everybody's kind of putting the blame on Kawhi. That's what I heard around the arena last night. But honestly, when I was there for the first, it was before preseason even started. It was the kind of like the Spurs open scrimmage match that they have at the AT&T Center that's free and open to the public. Kawhi had already checked out before the season even started. He wasn't there for that open scrimmage. And everybody was kind of looking at each other, wondering what happened. And then shortly after, we find out he has a quadriceps injury. So whatever happened with Kawhi obviously happened before the season even started. So, you know, that's going to kind of be one of those things that's going to go down in Spurs Valhalla. You know, it's a mystery. What happened to Kawhi? You know, that's the anthem of this season. What happened to Kawhi? Why Kawhi, you know? So I'm so over it, man. I'm ready for the season to be over.
Well, hopefully it's not, Joe, in game four, and the Spurs can pull off a miracle and win four straight. Well, let's start off with just one win. We'll take it one win at a time. Hopefully, crossing fingers, that'll be game four this Sunday in San Antonio. This is a 2:30 start, very early start. No more of these late night games, Joe. These things are just killing me right now.
Yeah.
I'm Jeff Garcia, News 4 San Antonio, Fox 29 San Antonio Spurs Zone. Go check us out there. A lot of content daily, and I mean tons of content. But speaking of what could be possibly better content, I don't know. Why don't we talk to Joe now about Two Shots Podcast?
Yeah, you can follow us at Two Shots Podcast, all spelled out, TWOSHOOTS Podcast, at Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And you can also check us out on the World Wide Web at twoshotssa.com.
And I think Joe has some cool photos of a mural for Popovich that was in San Antonio. So go check those out at Two Shots Podcast. Or like you said, like Joe said, just follow him on Twitter and it's there. But for Joe Garcia, I am Jeff Garcia. We're going to put a wrap on this episode of Locked On Spurs.